Okay, Bezrat Hashem, this week we begin the last and final book of the Torah, Parshas Dvarim, Sefer Dvarim. Baruch Hashem, it's a very special privilege to be getting and to be hearing every single word. Bezrat Hashem, in good weather, like we missed out last night, but in good weather tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, we begin also, it's called Shabbos Chazon, the Shabbos of Vision. Named after the Chazon Yeshua ben Amotz, the Haftorah that we read every single year on the Shabbos preceding Tisha B'Av, which always falls out with Parshas Devarim, the beginning of Sefer Devarim. There are many, many parallels there. But tonight I would like to talk about the Megillah itself, Megillas Eicha. Megillas Eicha comprises of five prakim. The first four prakim follow a very similar order. They follow the Aleph base. The first two prakim, very easy. It's 22 psukim, 22 verses, because, and the fourth as well, to follow the psukim of the Aleph Beis. The third chapter, Ani HaGever, is 66 psukim. Three letters, three psukim per letter of the Aleph Beis. And it begins with the words, Ani HaGever, I am the man, I am the witness, I am the person who has seen and experienced it all. This is referring to the author of Megillas Eicha, Yirmiyahu Anavi, Jeremiah the prophet, who turns to Klal Yisrael in the third chapter of his Megillah, and he shares his personal account of the Churban, of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And he says, I'm not just passing on history here, but I'm passing on my personal memories. I'm telling you what I experienced in the Churban, what it means to experience the trauma of a Churban Habayis. And in verse 17, he shares something very, very interesting. He says the following, Vatiznach mishalom nafshi, nafshi situva. Yirmiyahu says, Vatiznach mishalom nafshi, my soul has despaired of feeling peace, of feeling shalom, nafshi situva. I have forgotten what it means to have goodness. I have no peace and no goodness in my life. And the Gemara in the Talmud, Maseches Shabbos, Daf Chafei Amud Beis, tells us, what does this mean? What does it mean that somebody that went through the Churban HaBayis, what does it mean that he could no longer experience the goodness in life? That he no longer has peace with himself, because he has seen and experienced the destruction of the temple of God's home. Mai v'tiznach mishalom nafshi, says the Gemara. And the Gemara shares four different opinions as to what this means. And each and every opinion is going to leave you with scratching your head. What does this mean? Says the Gemara, Mirvahu, what does it mean? V'tiznach mishalom nafshi, zu hadlakas ner b'shabbos. What does it mean that I forgot goodness? I can't find peace, that I can't light the candles for Shabbos. Amrei Yirmiyah, what does Rabbi Yirmiyah say? Zu Beis HaMerchatz. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, what does it mean that I can't feel goodness anymore in my life? I can't take a nice shower. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka Amar, Zu Mita Na'a V'Kelem Na'a She'aleha. What does it mean that I can't appreciate goodness anymore? I've forgotten what good means. I don't appreciate a good bed. I haven't slept on a good mattress or put on a nice new fresh crisp clean suit or shirt in quite some time. Rabbi Abba Amar, Zumita Mutsa'as, the Isha Mikushetes, the Tamid Chachamim. I haven't experienced not just a comfortable bed, but I haven't, you know, my bed hasn't been made appropriately in these days. Now, you read this Gemara, right? And we're talking about Yirmiyahu Hanavi. We're talking about one of the prophets. To be a prophet means to live on a very high, lofty, holy level. And he experienced Churban HaBayis, the destruction of our temple, which is a spiritual experience, right? People died, people were murdered. There was a war. There was blood ravaging, flowing through the streets of Yerushalayim. But ultimately, right, Yirmiyahu, in a prophetic moment, is experiencing and writing down his recollections of the Korban HaBayis. And he says, I forgot what goodness means. I would have thought, I forgot what goodness means. The Beis HaMikdash, experiencing a connection, a holiness with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, you know, not seeing the Kohanim or the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. What does he say? It means not, I forgot goodness. A nice, clean, you know, bed. It means a Sealy Posturepedic mattress. It means a nice new Armani suit. I forgot goodness. The good things in life, I forgot them. What is it, Yirmiyahu experience? What does this mean? What does the Gemara mean? The lighting of Shabbos candles? What is going on here? Why is the Gemara saying that Yirmiyahu was fixated on the bathhouses? I couldn't experience a good shower. The lighting of the Shabbos, what's, this is what he's missing? What about the Beis HaMikdash? What about God's glory? What about the Jewish people not being criticized in the newspaper for every single decision that they make in Eretz Yisrael? He doesn't remember those things. He doesn't appreciate them. What does this Gemara mean? So I'd like to share with you the following thought. When tragedy strikes, national, communal, personal tragedy, tragedy is always experienced in two stages. Not the Chas V'Shalom trivialized tragedy, or to put it in this way, but usually there are two stages that happen. When one leaves a levaya, there's a sense of trauma, there's a sense of loss that the family experiences and that they have left behind, that they experience as they're going through, they have a trauma. Now the step after that tragedy is pain. And they're experiencing this loss. And there's a big void in one's life. And what happened? The Jewish people, what do we have? It's called avelos. After trauma, we have avelos. The community gets together, the friends, the family, and the broader Jewish community comes to visit. And it is a tremendous nechama, tremendous comfort for the people. But we all know that after all those public displays of mourning, when the Shiva ends and when the people leave their, you know, when the people stop coming to visit and stop dropping off the food, maybe that ends the day after Shiva, maybe that ends a week later, a month later, and for some maybe a little bit longer, when it ends, the impact or the real impact of that loss becomes even more apparent. You know why? Because life never returns back to normal. Life never returns back to normal after experiencing a tragedy. You know why? Because there is now a new normal. The wife of the deceased is now forced to cope with life without her husband. Their children to a life without a father. And that sense of life impacts their life forever. There's the immediate trauma, then there's a long lasting. The same thing is true. You know, think about 9/11. We reminisce before 9/11, after 9/11. Things changed. There was a trauma of the event right afterwards, and then there was a new normal that we experienced. Oh, things aren't the same anymore. I could have done this beforehand. Now it's a little bit different. Things are different, and we always remember why in the back of our minds. And with this, I think we can understand Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Yirmiyahu writes, the events of Tisha B'Av were unparalleled in Jewish history. To see the Beis HaMikdash burned to the ground, the exiling of Klal Yisrael to Bavel, and throughout the world, there was a staggering loss. It was literally impossible to describe in words. But there's another loss, in another way this loss impacted Klal Yisrael, and that is in our daily life. You see, what the Gemara is really telling us, or Yirmiyahu is really expressing in his personal memoir, in the third chapter of Megillas Eicha, is that yes, there was a global national loss. The Jewish people were exiled. People were murdered. The temple was destroyed, and we didn't know when we'd go back there ever again. And we're exiled from our land. That was one major loss, a national loss, a big loss. But there was also a loss, and that was to our personal everyday life. Our Shabboses were no longer the same, says the Gemara. Hadlakas Ner B'Shabbos, Rabbi Yirmiyahu is telling us, it's not the same Shabbos anymore. It's not the same. We're not in the same place. It's a little bit different. We can't go where we wanted to go. You know, we can't walk quick, carefree to the bathhouse to prepare for Yontif or a special occasion in Yerushalayim. Family life, the bed won't be the same. Family life won't be the same. It may be the same suit. It could be, but it feels different. The experience is different. We're not experiencing it the same way because this is after a trauma. There is a new normal to life, a normal that is can be completely recalibrated by the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. To appreciate what it means to have lost the Beis HaMikdash is virtually impossible for most of us, or all of us, living almost 2,000 years after its destruction. But if we look around at our lives and our community, at Klal Yisrael as a whole, it isn't so hard to see that our lives are missing something. Just look around at the past 4 months and look around what we've been experiencing, and we're all experiencing a life that we'd call a new normal. We're arguing and discussing what used to be and what is, and we're struggling with what's going to be in the future. Instability, uncertainty, anger, frustration. We are all experiencing and feeling it as personally, with our own personal families, with our spouses, with our communities, with the schools, the yeshivos, and on, our jobs. It's all unstable. And we're grappling with this new normal that we are literally right in the middle of. And this is what Yirmiyahu HaNavi is expressing to us. V'tiznach mishalom nafshi. Yes, the goodness of the spirituality and the kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is no longer there. But in our personal lives, we all know it and we all feel it and we sense it, and it's a reality. Things are different and things aren't the same. They're different. And that's what I believe. There's a very striking story that most of us have heard of. The story of Rabbi Akiva and the rabbis who go to the temple. And when they look at the temple, Rabbi Akiva sees the fox running across the temple, and Rabbi Akiva laughs and everybody else smiles. And why does Rabbi Akiva, and everybody else is crying, why does Rabbi Akiva smile and laugh and everybody else is crying? Because he sees a nevuah coming and taking place here. He sees a potential nevuah of Zechariah HaNavi take place. And if you listen to the words of the nevuah of Zechariah HaNavi, it's always very, very strange. In fact, I'll tell you the words of the nevuah, then I'll tell you where it's placed. The nevuah says, O Yeshu Zekanim Zekanos Berchobot Yerushalayim. There'll come a day where the elderly, the men and the women, will come in to sit in the streets, you know, and watch the children play in Jerusalem. That's what the Medrash, that's what the Pasuk says in Zechariah, that there will come a day in the future, you know, where we'll, messianic future, where the elderly will be able to walk in the streets and watch the kids play in the streets. That's a prophecy. What about the miracles? What about the Beis HaMikdash? What's the prophecy of Zechariah HaNavi that he's telling us? In fact, this pasuk is written above a playground in the Old City, in the Ir HaAtika of Yerushalayim. It's such a beautiful prophecy. But the prophecy is expressing something very real that I think we could all relate to, especially today. And that's a prophecy of normalcy. Churban, that we've all experienced, personal, communal tragedy that we've all experienced in some way, shape, or form. You know, what do we want? What do we crave after normalcy? After it is normalcy, right? They said in Eretz Yisrael that after a terrorist attack, what is the answer to the terrorist? What do they all say in all the news stations? Go back to normal. Go back to life as normal. That is the biggest answer to any terrorist. If they say we're not afraid and we're just going to go out and do it again, and we're just going to go back to school, go back to work, continue to play in the playgrounds, we're showing we're not afraid, and that's our answer. Today, and this was expressed, I remember the beginning days, in the beginning of March, that can't be our answer now because that's not the right health decision for us and the world. And that's what makes things so hard, and we crave more than ever, is this nevuah of, oh, Yeshu Zakenim Zakenos, Rechov is Yerushalayim, to feel this normalcy, to feel a new this normalcy. And this is the hardest part. The hardest part is to not crave what we once had and not be sad over what we have, but to create an elevated normal or a new normal that we embrace, we withhold, and we desire, and we love, because we know this is where our Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be right now. And because if we weren't here right now, then we'd be somewhere else. But this is where Hashem wants us to be, to embrace what we have. And that all of the character building that we've had throughout our entire lives should animate all the inspiration, all the other experiences that we have throughout our entire lives should animate the next few months and next years of our lives. And we shouldn't look at this as a bidyeved, but it should be look at it as a way to grow and to change for the positive in ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do that and to reflect upon that. And I think that's a big challenge. It's a big challenge of the 9 days and the 3 weeks to feel the lacking, the sensing of lacking of the Beis HaMikdash. But for us, it's even that much more real these days. One of the greatest books to be written in this past decade was a book by Yisrael Meir Lau, Out of the Depths. It's autobiography. If you haven't read it yet and you have time in your hands, you have to read this book. I don't know where my copy is, but we have a few copies in the shul. I'll happily give one to you. You don't have to return it. So Rabbi Lau writes about all of his experiences throughout life, which is unbelievable, unbelievable. I want to share with you one which really touches home on this story. We know that he was, Rabbi Lau, Yisrael Meir Lau, was 8 years old when he was in Buchenwald, along with his older brother, his brother Naftali. Maybe Rabbi Lau was a little bit older, and with his older brother Naftali, and Naftali really took care of him. And he writes the following story. He writes that it was so hard, it was so difficult in the barracks. Every single night, the same things day in, day out. Mi yechya, mi yamlas, every single day. We don't know what was going to be. People are dying around us. People are starving. They didn't know what was going to happen. He says that one night in the barracks, there was a beautiful voice that started to sing. It was late at night. People were exhausted. And he said his brother Naftali was awoken to this beautiful, angelic, melodic voice. And he remembered it. He turned to Yisrael. They called him Luluk. He turned to his little brother. He said, you have to come with me. I know this voice. I know this voice from somewhere. And he followed the voice to a different point in the barracks. And he saw somebody, an elderly man who was sitting there. He looked so beautiful, but he looked so broken, disheveled. He must have had this huge beard. He said to him, and he got closer and he was singing. And he said, I know this guy. You know who this guy is? This is Yosela Mandelbaum. Yosela Mandelbaum was the greatest chazan in all of Europe. And Naftali says, I remember one time I spent Shabbos in the great synagogue in Krakow, and Cantor Mandelbaum was there singing pre-Holocaust. And that was his voice. And he was singing Mikdash Melech Ir Malucha, the verses that we say every single Friday night in Lecha Dodi. And Rabbi Lau says that his brother and him were in the concentration camp, but they really weren't there because they were remembering what was in the past. And it took them back to a place that it was in the past. And every single night, every single Yontif, every single Shabbos, on Chanukah, they sang Ma'utzur. And this gave them that chizak to persevere because they were transported out of the place that they were in to a place back into the past. They tapped into that and then helped them animate their reality right now. And Rabbi Lau writes that many, many years later, Naftali Lavi Lau, he changed his name, Naftali Lavi Lau was this 40 years later, literally 40 years later, Naftali became the Israel's council general in New York, as many, many of you know. And very often, Naftali was very close to the Rebbe of Babov, the Babov Rebbe of Shlomo Halberstam, who himself has an amazing story about how he survived the Holocaust. And Naftali used to go in, and on Friday night, he would go to the tishes with the Rebbe. And he says one night, he was at the tish with the Rebbe. He was sitting there at the tish with the Rebbe, and a chazan comes in and starts to sing for the Rebbe. A chazan with a long white beard, with a big bekisha, wearing a wide-brimmed hat. And all of a sudden, it's that music. It hits us. It hit him. It penetrated and pierced his heart. And he said, this brought me back to a place in the past. Who is this guy? And it hit him 40 years ago. Is Yosela Mandelbaum. Yosela Mandelbaum looked at Naftali. Their eyes locked. He winked at him. He looked at him. It brought him back to the past. But more than that, it gave him that chizuk. It reminded him of how, no matter what situation that we're in, it's not about looking back at the past, about how it was then and how it could be better now, but we use our past experiences to create a greater reality for now. Naftali Lavi transported him back, but he utilized that experience to create a greater reality for where he was in Buchenwald, where he was in Brooklyn, with Shlomo Halberstam, Rech Hasidus Rebbe. And he says, it's a beautiful line, as Yossel is saying the phrase, arise and depart, kumi tzi'i, Naftali no longer saw the Hasidim of the Rebbe in Brooklyn, but their miserable wretches who sat on the cold, damp ground of the barracks in Chekachekoa, that Shabbos Eve, in late November 1944. 40 years later, 1984, he experienced the same thing. But it's that strength of the Jewish people, to not just try to create and pave a way for a new normal, but use our past experiences. Yirmiyahu Hanavi is reminding us to be mechazik and strengthen the realities that we're in right now, and to create, use all those experiences to create a greater reality for the future. I wish everybody a great Shabbos. It should be a Shabbos of chizuk, of strength. Like we said, it's called Shabbos Chazon, a Shabbos of vision. It should be a Shabbos where we utilize the ability to use our new normals for the positive. Use our new normals and look for new pathways to create greater connections and greater relationships with the people that we are, that are in our homes, the people that we love, and the people around us. And to think about the positive, think about the positive ways of what we could take out of the experiences that we're going through right now, as difficult as they may be for many of us, and how they can animate our both our present and our future, the Ezrat Hashem. With that, I wish everybody a great Shabbos.